For Delaware State of the Arts, I'm Andy Truscott. My guest today is Brianna Hansen, the marketing manager of the Queen in Wilmington. The Queen found their way back to the throne and reopened their doors to the people on April 1st, 2011. Today, it's a full-scale live music venue and stands as one of the most historic buildings and theaters in Wilmington, Delaware. Brianna, thanks so much for joining me today. And as we kick off here, could you share a little bit with our listeners about what the Queen looks like in its current day?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really thrilled to be coming, joining this team. I've been here for about 8 months now, but it came in at that, you know, post-COVID kind of resurgence, trying to figure out, reinvent ourselves, but, you know, lay the plan for the future after a couple rough years. And it's really just been a wonderful, wonderful time to join the team. One of the things that we're really focused on right now and over the next couple months, bringing you quality over quantity of shows. We've had sellout after sellout this year. And, you know, just kind of as a fan of music in the area, it's been really clear to see that talent buying is moving in a very, very strong direction and one that's working for our city, our region. And a big part of why I was brought on board and something that I'm just so thrilled to really be driving is re-engaging the local community, the local, you know, music community in particular, and, making sure that everybody knows that they have a place on stage and under our roof. So it's kind of a new era of the Queen. But, you know, to your point, it's a beautiful historical building with so much rich history here. And it's just such a cool thing to be a part of. I'm kind of a lucky person.
Tell us a little bit about that history. It's not always been a live music venue. And so what might our patrons not know about what the Queen used to be?
Well, it opened in 1789 originally under the Indian Queen Hotel. It was very popular by sailors, you know, in the region that were using the riverfront, you know, the shipyard, sailors from visiting ships. So that was its original start. It's kind of crazy to think that, you know, Market Street alone dates back that far, 1789. From there it turned into, it had a couple different iterations as hotels. And then in the early 1900s is when it first became a movie theater, which, you know, most people who are familiar with the history of Market Street, that is the era of the Queen that they remember. It from 1916 to 1959, I believe, it operated as a cinema. And then many people may remember from one of the Queen's first, as a live music venue, one of the first events that we did was a screening of House on Haunted Hill, which is the final film that was shown at the Queen in April of 1959. And, as we remember, BPG came in around 2008, bought the building, worked on restoring the building. You know, that process was definitely a beautiful thing to witness. You enter Main Hall to this day, a lot of the distressed paint that you see just above the main stage, was kept from the original build. There are murals on the wall that were uncovered during that restoration process. They had to fix the gaping hole in the ceiling, but they did their best to restore a lot of those original unique elements that, you know, came with that deep history.
What differences can they expect?
World Cafe Live, you know, what they did best, in my opinion, and again, this is just as a patron and lover of music in Wilmington, they brought in acts that really allowed you to enjoy the intimacy of the venue. You know, it is a relatively similar size to the Grand, but relatively smaller in the grand scheme of things. Our capacity is just under 1,100. So, you know, bringing acts that that either are large enough that you feel really special to be part of the crowd, or just kind of like quiet and raw enough that you really get to enjoy that intimate space and that intimate experience. So, you know, World Cafe Live did a, obviously being managed and having XPN as a partner, they were able to bring in a lot of acts that certainly fit that like folky indie realm. And that worked really, really well. They also embraced the community, with open arms. They were, you know, constantly hosting partner events and local music on their stages. And some of that we saw change pretty dramatically during Live Nation days. Now, granted, during Live Nation days, some bigger acts came through. You know, that Live Nation backing power certainly did a lot for the Queen. Unfortunately, the timing was not so great. It was pre-pandemic that they had been managing that. Now, they are still a partner of ours. They do still help book some shows. Some of the sellouts, you know, that we've seen this year, like the Wonder Years, Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness, which is coming up in May, you know, those are Live Nation partnership bookings. So we are grateful to still be able to work with them in that capacity. But, you know, under the new independent management of BPG, and, you know, we say BPG, they are the owners, but at the end of the day, we've hired a team that is focused solely on the Queen, operates separately from BPG in its day-to-day. And, you know, our goal is really returning to those roots of community and quality programming. So you're going to see less tribute acts. I don't want to speak ill of anybody's favorite cover bands, but there was a lot of that coming through. And while, you know, those shows are certainly fun and we're definitely going to do them from time to time, we're, you know, again, just focusing on quality over quantity. We're trying to book the artists that really make those memorable experiences, and just trying to bring more of the community back to the stage. I've been blessed to get the okay to run with a local music series. So I'm working on, well, you'll see it announced by the time this goes up. It may be out there. We've got 10 shows throughout the rest of summer that are mostly co-bills, but, you know, Wilmington based artists, some regional acts as well coming in. We've got great talent, and with the Jackson Inn closing recently, the music scene was in shock. They didn't know what to do, and then we kind of sat back and we went, well, wait a minute, how did the Jackson Inn become the place for live music to begin with? a lot changed during COVID in terms of who was able to afford to produce and really, I say, take a risk. It's not, when you're a music venue, it's a little bit easier to produce a show. But, you know, prior to COVID, we were seeing live music popping up in restaurants and bars. And I mean, all over the place, on the streets. That's an expensive endeavor if, you know, you don't have the equipment and the sound engineers. So, you know, we are able to bring those things to life a little bit more easily. And at the end of the day, it's sustainable programming for us. We know that there's a market there. We know these local fans are going to continue to support their favorite local artists. So it's kind of a no-brainer and something that I'm really happy we're working our way back towards.
Moving towards local music does not mean music lovers won't see some high caliber, high name individuals at the Queen, but that this is a return to other means of programming and other opportunities for local artists to take the stage.
Yes, absolutely. There, by no means does it take away from, you know, the great work that the talent buying team is doing in Main Hall. Again, I think we're just focusing a few years ago, well, under World Cafe Live days, I mean, you know, they were opened as a restaurant. And I, at one point, I remember them striving for live music 7 days a week. That is a massive undertaking. I absolutely would love to see us get back to that point. But, you know, at the moment, it seems a little bit unrealistic. But, you know, plugging in these live and local shows are an easy way to increase. And not that, you know, we're not trying to just fill a quota. We're trying to give the community, you know, something that fell a little dry over the last couple years. And, you know, giving those local musicians who we're really, really privileged here, that lots of high quality, like wonderful talent right in our backyard, And, you know, just having the ability to give them a stage helps build the queen from the ground up. You're still going to see those big names come into main hall. I love, like, talent buying has really been hitting every genre with names that are just kind of like, no way. You know, we just had Bone Thugs and Harmony a couple weeks ago. Paul Oakenfold, for those who may be into the electronic and trance scene, I mean, he is an absolute legendary producer in that realm. We've got him coming up May 13th. Last night, sold out Silverstein show, Wonder Years, two nights sold out the weekend before. You know, those are major pop punk names from my, you know, high school, early college days. Lucas Nelson, Willie Nelson's son, Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real. We just had them, another sold out show this past Sunday. So we're really trying to bring something for everyone through to Main Hall. So yeah, just because we're focusing on the local stuff and, you know, the little guys, by no means does that mean that the good high caliber programming is going away. We're just kind of, you know, we're trying to address the community like top level down and grassroots bottom up, and just hoping that, you know, in the middle, we end up with a bunch of music lovers underneath our roof that are paying attention to what we've got going on, because, you know, they know that we're programming for the masses, I don't even want to say for the masses, we're programming for our community. And, you know, you can find everybody can find something that is enjoyable to them. They take the time to, you know, keep an eye.
The building is not just for live concerts. However, the Queen offers competitive rates to rent the building for private events, for corporate events. Tell us more about some of your favorite events that you've seen come through the door and what makes you, I think, a more successful event in renting the Queen.
I think, and this always comes back to community, some of the most successful events, and in terms of, you know, however you define success, are often really, you know, collaborative, like when you bring pillars of the community together and the community organizations that hold up those pillars all under one roof, you know, you get tons of people in the door and you get tons of quality programming. Millennial Summit came back to the Queen last year. They're coming back again this year. That is always an incredibly interesting event. You know, again, successful in many ways, but I love the diversity of the private events. You know, one weekend we may be hosting a Women in Hospitality conference, and, you know, the next something that is focused on tech and millennials. The next week it could be a giant HBCU week, you know, concert. The HBCU week is a rental, always one of the most entertaining weeks of the Queen, packed with, you know, concerts and comedy. Weddings, you know, I often forget about that, but this is definitely one of the coolest places in Wilmington to have a wedding, especially if, you know, if you're known to be a rocker. there really is no other venue that's quite like it. But we have multiple rooms that are available for rent. A lot of people don't even realize some of the smaller spaces. You know, our crown room, our upstairs stage is available. Knight's Bar, which is our open air bar right on the corner of Fifth and Market. Beautiful little space that's available for rent. We have the crown room, which is basically just a blank canvas, but floor to ceiling windows overlooking, you know, Market Street. So lots of beautiful natural light in there. We've seen a lot of just lunchtime conferences and wellness events that you know came in through that rental side come to life in that space. And that's the really cool thing about this venue is it's so unique, but it's also so versatile, and you can just do so many things with it. Little bit of creativity and goes a long way in this place.
The Queen's located on Fifth and Market in Wilmington, which is surrounded by a number of restaurants, bars, and parking. What else should patrons know about the area?
Well, you know, people often are like, oh, there's nowhere to park. And Andy, I know you know this. Wilmington's not safe. I could never go downtown at, you know, after 5 p.m. All of that's nonsense. We have a secured garage literally right next door. right off of Fifth Street. Street parking is free on nights and weekends. It is plentiful, especially when there's no construction going on. There may or may not be some construction going on right now, but there's, you know, just a few blocks away, right? Right behind Maker's Alley at, what is that? Eighth and Orange, you know, that lot is free after 6 p.m. Tons of parking, you know, and not to mention if you don't feel like dealing with parking, Uber, Lyft, drop you right off at the front door. This block in particular, or the 400 block, I should say, is in, well, 400 and 500 blocks, incredible food. You know, we are within a 5-second walk, Farmer and the Cow, Merchant Bar, La Fia, Bardea Steak. You know, this lower section of Market is really, really making a comeback, in terms of, you know, dining options, and it's great for our patrons. And, you know, it's obviously Chelsea Tavern down the street has always been a staple for the Grands. And I'm totally rambling now, but I feel like it's important to say that, you know, we've been trying to work in partnership more with the Grand too, Arden Concerts as well. You know, we, as a local music community, we really need to stick together. We've got some incredible wealth in our backyard, and, you know, we're stronger in union than we are apart. People often ask about that, like, you know, how do you feel about the Grand booking so-and-so? I'm like, awesome. More people downtown, more people paying attention to music on Market Street. I mean, that's what we need. And this community, like Market Street in particular, just brings so much vibrancy to Wilmington. And, you know, last night we had His Gold Messenger was in the Crown Room, almost sold out show, sold out Silverstein show downstairs. I went to Maker's Alley with the family beforehand to grab dinner. And I mean, it was jam packed. So many people that were from out of town that had, you know, didn't realize like how cool and really how hip and trendy Wilmington is starting to be. And I hate to say that, but you know, you've seen it. You've seen the growth and the slight change in identity over the last couple of years that really has people from the outside looking in. It's a good feeling. You know, we've been here the whole time on the inside screaming, telling them, and now they're starting to pay attention. So it's a beautiful thing.
And to your point, right, as it relates to competition between the venues, is, you know, there are so many unknowns that I think the community may not see, right, in that one venue may be booked one night. And so, you know, that artist wanting to play Wilmington will find another venue. And so oftentimes it's a pass off, right? It's, oh, the Grand or the Queen's booked, so we send them in the other direction and say, you may want to play there. Or you have an artist like the Disco Biscuits who are coming to the Queen later this summer, who wanted to play a seated show at the Grand last year. And so, you know, it allows the artist to have some flexibility in terms of venue and venue orientation, mm-hmm. And still keeps the act in Delaware rather than losing it to Philadelphia.
Yeah, absolutely. We're actually, you know, the word is starting to spread how cool Wilmington of how cool of an option Wilmington is when you do kind of want a break from those giant hectic venues. I got to give like major kudos to our Live Nation talent buyer. He was able to convince the Wonder Years to skip their hometown of Philly and close the tour out here in Wilmington, two nights back to back, sold out. We had people from Brooklyn, Virginia, you know, Baltimore, DC. I mean, they were coming from everywhere, and it was incredible. And, you know, the bands had a wonderful time. You know, the feedback that we get, not to toot our own horn, but the feedback that we get from you know, about the production crew, the sound engineers, and just the space, it's really incredible. And I'm, you know, just thrilled to be a part of that. And I'm thrilled to be trusted enough to, you know, be able to bring local things to life, like on the main stage as well. That's one of the things I really wanted to make sure I had an opportunity to talk to you about was the Vinyl Countdown, which is next Friday, April 14th. It was I joke when I say this, but I'm not joking. You know me. It was an excuse for me to throw a birthday party. I was like, well, birthday's on a Friday. Let's do something fun. And it happens to be a week before Record Store Day. So it's like, well, let's do a little Record Store Day preview party. And a couple minutes later, you know, a few phone calls, we got four of the five major record stores in Delaware on board, International Groove Records, Jupiter Records, Rainbow Records, and Squeezebox Records. Live music by Grace Vonder Kuhn, Tree Walker, who's actually releasing a new album. It's going to be their record release show. And then Region, who also just recently released a new vinyl. They're going to have that as well available, of course. This is one of the first big shows that they played since their vinyl, their record release as well. And visual artists, we've got Sore Eyes Design, who actually did the really cool retro poster for us, and Pat Higgins, tons of local vendors. Like Arden Concerts is coming out to promote what they've got going on. They're going to be doing a giveaway. Community is really, really coming together to support this nicely. The Dogfish Head is they're going to be here with their new Record Store Day brew, and they've got some Dogfish branded turntables that we're going to be giving away throughout the night. So if you do buy your ticket in advance, just a heads up, you get an extra entry into that turntable giveaway. But we're doing it early. It's the pop-up vinyl market. Well, it's going to happen all night, but it starts at 5:30. Record store DJs are going to spin during that first market hour. So, you know, we're really encouraging families to come out after work, after school. Like, we'll have a food truck. Three Amigos Mexican Grill is going to have their food truck there. So we're encouraging people to just come right out straight from work and hang with us, you know, bring the whole family. Kids 10 and under are free. Of course, being a Record Store Day preview party, you're going to have the opportunity to hear from the record stores about all the great things that they have coming through their doors on Record Store Day, which is Saturday, April 22nd.
Well, Brianna, thanks so much for joining me today. As a reminder, the Queen is up, open the curtains up, and shows are making their way in to bring you downtown to see all that Wilmington has to offer. If you want to learn more about the Queen in Wilmington, you can visit their website at thequeenwilmington.com.